was at the show the other day. He was looking pretty lit. He ordered a beer from the bartender there. Saw three songs, then he split. He escaped to the patio and never did come back. We texted to find out where he disappeared, but he hasn't revealed his tracks. What happened to Ron? What happened to Ron? What's going on? Is he really gone?
All right, so you guys did a show in Exeter last night?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Then you went all the way back to Berkeley today?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That is a lot of hours on the road.
It is.
It's a few.
And back to Los Angeles when we're done with you.
Holy shit.
Oh, wow.
How the fuck do you guys do that?
I mean, insane.
It's this guy, mostly. Yeah. He's the driver.
Yeah.
You guys have day jobs and do this?
I don't.
You don't? I know. You got that Paddington Bear, and then you guys went to the Ice Nine Kills.
Yeah.
And she was at that show.
She was there, too. Yeah, her and her best friend.
Because I seen posts. I seen her post it, and I seen you guys post it. And I was like, wait a minute. Is that the same show? No, it can't be. It's got to be different cities. And I was like, no way. And then she confirmed it right now. You guys are at the same show. I was like, you know that the bandit's coming? You were at the same show.
Yeah.
I dragged them there. I got the tickets for my birthday. I'm a huge Ice Nine.
Yeah, I remember the post was like, she actually wanted to go out with us. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. They're a whole family band. You guys get to the certain age, you guys want to go do your own thing. And it's like, well, yeah, because my kid's 13 and he's like locked in his room all the time. Like, you know, the graphics outside are amazing. Come outside. Let's go do something.
And he's always
in the side playing games, so I'm sure you're at that.
I also tend to stay inside. I like just to sit there and watch movies.
You've been doing a lot of moves lately. You got your driver's license, all kinds of stuff.
I know.
You've been making some moves.
Yeah.
You do your homework, huh?
We try. We try. We don't want to come in like, duh, what do you guys do?
Yeah. I think you might know the order of my life better than I do.
Well, I mean, when we bought the albums, we listened to them a lot. He's been listening to them solid for a week, and I've been trying to get this done, so I'm counting on him to do his side of the homework that maybe I didn't have time to do. And
let us just say thank you. You'd be surprised how many people don't even bother to learn the name of our band.
Yeah. Well, this is what we do now for our second job. So we're trying to do this to get out of working, you know, retail or whatever it is that we're doing, just to do this for a living. We'd love to sit down and promote you guys. If you win, we win, and then we get to go on tour with you guys or whatever. You know? Yeah. Hey, you come get tickets.
Oh yeah.
So what started you guys into this? Did you always plan it to be a family band, or is it like the Partridge Family thing? Like, hey, let's raise some kids and let's start a whole band, and you know, like back in the day when they did that?
Yeah, I mean, well, yes and no. I mean, I've been playing, you know, music. I've been in bands my whole life. My husband, you know, has been in bands and more though on the like business side of music.
Yeah.
And so you know, when you know, it seemed like natural that when they came, you know, that age, that they would go into, you know, School of Rock or whatever rock schools were there.
Right.
So then when Jesse got to be around 12, you know, because School of Rock is very, like, cover band oriented.
Yeah, you got
to
start somewhere.
Yeah. We thought he should start, you know, learning what it was like to, you know, work on originals, write your own songs, and have a more creative experience with that. And we wanted to get him in a band with his friends, but it wasn't really working out. So we thought, like, we'll be that band.
There you go. You know? Ain't nothing like family support.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then he did eventually, you know, he has his metal band Diabology. Right. So he did eventually.
He definitely has Cliff Burton vibes.
Thanks.
Yeah. Well, I know you're guitar, not bass, but when you're playing, and I saw you guys at Friendsgiving, I was like, hey, Matt, who's that remind you of? He's like, yeah, is that Cliff Burton? I said, that's what I was fucking thinking. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, you know, we're huge Metallica fans, so like, reference, like, oh yeah, we know exactly.
Yeah, you got the hair, you got the mustache, you got the everything, and then you're playing and you're grooving just like him. I'm like, get the fuck out of here, dude.
Yeah.
I'm not into reincarnation, but holy shit, bro.
The way the band actually did end up coming together was kind of just happenstance, though, because I worked at a giant rehearsal studio in L.A., and I had access to all these giant sound stages, and it was the 4th of July weekend, like 2015 or something, and we were looking for something to do, and we said, well, let's just go in and jam. You know, we have access to all this cool stuff, and none of us played drums. We're all guitar players.
So you decided, fuck it, I'll do drums.
I think it actually started out trying to make Angelica be the drummer or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I don't either.
I drew the short straw on that, and at the age of 45, had to learn to play drums to be in this band. So
damn.
Yeah, it worked out well, though. You know,
kind of. Yeah, I couldn't do that. I got no rhythm.
But what were you guys, some of you guys' influences of, you know, you guys want to have your own sound, you know, with the punk and stuff, but being like, what bands did you guys listen to be like, oh, you know, let's influence you? Sorry.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm the main sound, songwriter. So I, you know, like I'd say like Motorhead, Kiss, Black Sabbath, believe it or not. I mean, I know we don't necessarily sound like that, but that is like kind of, I did get inspired by like a lot of that riffy stuff. And, I mean, Ramones, like, we've always been compared to the Ramones.
Yes, the Ramones.
Like, honestly, I've never been, like, the hugest Ramones fan. I mean, I definitely appreciate them, and I'm from New York myself, so I, you know.
Really?
Yeah, I was actually, you know, like, friendly with those guys. I mean, that's kind of like if you're on the scene in New York, you know.
You kind of get to know people.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, we always get, like, the Ramones, you know.
Yeah, I could see that.
But you know, these guys are like you know, hardcore metal fans.
Yeah,
like,
same here. Yeah. Same here. Well, I'm more of a punk rock fan and a metal fan. He's more metal than punk rock, but when we go to the shows, I catch him jamming. I catch him grooving to it. He can lie all he wants, but I see it.
Yeah.
I see it.
Yeah, the music was right. I mean, just like you, like, I'm not a huge Ramones fan. I do appreciate some and what the influence that they had on other bands and stuff.
Right.
But I mean, I can tell you, five songs that they do. But if I hear it, I'm like, oh, that's the Ramones.
Right.
Yeah, they got a signature sound.
Yeah.
Distinct sound, yes.
Okay, so who wrote Stupid Punk Song? Because I know you do lead singing on that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, shit. It's not Angelica doing the lead on this one. Oh, I don't know what. All right. I like this one, too.
My mom wrote that one.
I wrote
one.
That. But, okay. But they actually split vocals pretty even. I don't know.
Yeah, I noticed on, what was it, Boogeyman Boogie? You can hear him coming in at the secondary vocals and backing her up.
Yeah, and usually, you know, we kind of trade off. Whoever's not doing leads does backing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you guys had Tolerate You. That's a relationship song all the way. Am I wrong?
Yes, that's the story of our lives.
Yeah, because I seen that and I was like, wait, who's that other lead singer in there? She's not normally there. I looked it up and she's the lead singer for Hoity Toity.
Hoity Toity, right.
Did I say it right? Shout okay. Yeah. I don't want to shit on the name and then I get emails and shit like because I run our digital accounts. Hey, you said it wrong. No, I'm sorry. I want to get it right. And then you guys ever tour with them at all?
With Hoity Toity?
Yeah.
No, I mean, they actually played a show for me once. Oh, because I promote shows, too.
In
addition to being a band, I promote shows. So I did book them on a show, and I just thought she had a really good voice. And I thought that, like, because none of us are, like, really great singers, you know, that she would, you know, because it kind of has, like, that disco-y vibe.
Yeah, Angelica has the punk rock sound in her voice. Right. And then I can't remember her name from Hoity Toity. I can't.
Shelby.
Shelby, that's it. Thank you.
Yeah.
And her last name is spelled just like my brother's last name.
Oh, Muniz?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw the last name and I was like, wait a minute. They're not related, are they?
Yeah, no.
So how did that come to be to just have her on a song? Because you guys did a whole video. I mean, you only have a few videos, though. So it was hard to find. What was that? Boogeyman Boogie has a video?
Yeah, I just seen that off of
Tolerate You has a video.
Linktree, I seen it on there.
And a couple others. And then we went to the Linktree, like you said, and we looked up history of the band, how you got started, all this stuff, and they're like, let's remember all this, and he's got notepads written down, and I'm like, how are we going to remember all that? We're going to be shuffling through papers looking dumb, so we're just going to shoot it off the hip and go for it.
Yeah. It was a little hard to try and figure, okay, what points do we want to talk to, but then I was thinking, we interviewed Out of the Ring twice, and they're really good friends of ours. I mean, Juan's my cousin.
We did it twice?
Get
the fuck out of here.
Didn't we?
No.
Are you sure?
I don't know. I'm going to have to go back and look now. We've done a lot of shows. We've done a lot of shows. We're almost 2 years in, and we've done a lot of shows. But we interviewed them with horrible wireless mics and my phone on a tripod off in the corner and just winging it. And now, a year later, we got all this set up, and we got you guys here driving all the way down here for us. And we got to be able to do something for you to thank you for that, because that's a long drive just for a small-time podcast like us. But we appreciate it.
We appreciate it.
Are you guys cold? We can close the door.
Yeah.
No? Yeah?
I'm a little cold, but it's not a big deal.
I'm always cold.
You do me a favor and hit that big button on top, the one with the white sticker on it.
The top. The
very, very top one. It looks like it's not a button, but it is a button. It doesn't look like I pushed it earlier. There it goes. That'll help cancel out some of that sound from outside anyways, which we did our test recordings with the door down earlier anyways. But where did you find that humongous Paddington bear?
Oh, yeah.
I seen that. It looked like it didn't hardly fit in the van. Like you had to put it in a seatbelt. It was so big.
I can't tell you the name, but like I said, I work at a giant rehearsal studio in LA with A-list clients and a very famous rock star.
I know the contest was if you can guess the rock star, and I'm sitting there thinking, who the fuck?
Yeah, no one did.
I'll tell you.
It ain't Lemmy's family. It ain't none of them.
Yeah, I could get fired for telling you who it is, but.
I don't want to risk that.
It's a Hall of Famer rock and roll guy.
That's dope.
Recently retired, sort of. But anyway.
Okay. But
we'll put that together later. We'll put it together later. I'll shoot you guys a DM and see if I'm right.
Yeah. Okay. Off the record.
Yeah, off the record.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So the song, What Would Lemmy Do? So... That when I first heard it and I saw it, I was thinking Airheads. Is that where you guys had got it, or you just
that'd be
the movie? Brendan Fraser. Yeah.
Brendan Fraser. All in.
In a fight. Lemmy or God?
Yeah, Lemmy is God.
Lemmy is God.
There's a trick question. Would you rather have what was it?
Oh, who would win in a fight, Lemmy or God? God, wrong.
Lemmy is God. Yeah.
I'm annually convinced I just dreamed up that movie, and then I'll get reminded of it. I'll be like, no, it is real. And then, 2 months later, I'll be like, no, I hallucinated that.
You thought you were getting a Mandela effect or something? Yeah. Like, oh, they never said that in the movie. And you go back and watch it. Yeah, that's the Mandela effect is wrong.
I'm just convinced I just made the entire movie up, and then I'll see a clip of it, and I'll be like, no, it is real. And then 2 months later, I'll be like, no, I made that movie up. I made that entire movie up.
There'll be times where I'm sitting there and I'll be quoting lines at work or something, and I'll mix Detroit Rock City along with that one, and that's not in that same movie. I'm like, wait, okay, never mind. I messed up.
Yeah, or if you get really stumped, you'll just end up calling me at work and it's like, hey, what's...
Oh, yeah, I get stumped on something. I'll call him up for references and things like that.
Yeah.
That song, What Would Lemmy Do, is actually kind of an anomaly in our catalog because I had written, the main riff of that's from an instrumental that I wrote called Motorhead, because I thought it sounded like a Motorhead song, and she liked the riff so much that she kind of gave it to her, and she ran with it and wrote the lyrics
around it
based on what I had there, but...
So what do you guys do first? Do you write your lyrics for the songs first, or do you come up with the music further than the lyrics come later?
I usually come up with the words first, but they're, sometimes not. Usually if I don't, if the music comes first, it's because one of these guys wrote it. They'll write music and then I'll be like, that's cool. But if I write it myself, before we got in the band, right before that, I was doing a funny poetry blog, poetry, sorry.
No, that's okay, because that's how sometimes songs turns into music.
Right.
They're hand in hand, but people don't like to think of it that way.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is that I found a lot of my poems kind of already had a
flow to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It gets easy to put it to music. And then especially if it's a catchy title, something that I think people will be like, oh, that's funny, or something people will relate to, then I'm like, oh yeah, that's cool. That's a cool song,
So you got three albums, I think, right? Or more than three. Because we only have two of them that we got from the Friendsgiving.
The Cheesy Peasy.
We got the Double Cheese.
Yeah.
Double with Cheese.
Double Cheese.
But there was one before those.
We have
Do It With Cheese.
Do It With Cheese.
Do It With Cheese.
Three albums and an EP.
But Do It With Cheese is not, we don't have a physical. It's just online.
Yeah, we never actually did a physical copy of it.
What do we have? I got two of them.
No, we have the EPZ.
That's it.
Cheesy EPZ.
That's it.
And Double With Cheese.
Yeah. Right.
So you guys go down to the studio you work at and record all the albums there?
We've done.
Or did you build a home studio and do it?
It's been a little bit of everything. Double With Cheese was done in our living room during the pandemic.
Convenience.
It kind of varies, honestly.
And then Tolerate You, or did you guys film that on several days, and or just was that one shot?
That where I work, that was filmed in the gold room at the studio. Where
okay, I was yeah. like, oh, this totally looks like a living room. This yeah. one looks like a studio. This one, and I'm like, how did they do that?
Well, yeah, we did the band shots at his workplace, and we did the rest of the shots in our house.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I was like, okay, how is this working? Because it was looked like it was all one location.
I forgot there were house shots in that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah, we work with a guy, Andrew Soto, who kind of like, he gets our like, you know, kooky humor. So we like working with him. And we do it real quick. Like we will go like to, usually in a day, we'll just go to like a studio and do like band shots and then come home and do like the kind of more personal stuff or,
okay.
or a second location, not always home, but.
I know Jim's wife from Out of the Ring does a lot of their booking, and you're doing a lot of the booking for all your tour dates, or do you guys have like an agent that does some of that stuff?
No, yeah, we don't have an agent. I don't know. I kind of like just wait around for people to ask me for shows unless word of mouth? Well, yeah, I mean, wow. I don't know. It's you know, as the kids are getting older, it gets harder because, you know, Jesse works, and then, you know, Angelica has her friends in her drama, and we both work. So it's kind of like, you know, I feel stressed. Like if I ask someone for a show and then I'm like, well, we can't make it or whatever. So I kind of just wait to see what we get. Or
I thought maybe it was like the Field of Dreams. If you book it, they will come, you know, type shit. You know, I thought it was going to be something like that.
Also, though, Jesse's metal band Diabology is kind of takes the priority for like the road gigs and like the bookings. For
you got to
like,
send me the links of that so we can promote you and put it on the stories and stuff
on the road, you know,
for sure.
But yeah, so. If I see something interesting though, then I'll like that makes sense that I know like, oh yeah, we can do that. And you know, then I'll ask like, hey, you have an opening there or something.
Yeah. Cause you guys are up and down and up and down the state. And I'm like, how are you guys doing that? How is the gas alone's got to be murder.
It's a labor of love. You know, we enjoy it. So, you know,
yeah, it's just something. If you love the music, you got it. You're going to pour everything into it. You know, it's like, well, we get the sense to sit down and talk with you guys. I'm just like, whatever it takes. I almost went out and spent $1,000 on a laptop just to make sure we get it to record. But his accepted all the software, so we were able to just do backup recording. So if, oh shit, the SD card dies or whatever, we got backup recordings because we only got one chance. And I think we were trying to do this for since back in August.
Yeah.
We were messaging back and forth, and one of those dates fell through. Something happened. We couldn't do it. A tour date took you guys somewhere else. And I'm like, yeah, go make that money. Go do whatever, you know, because, you know, we'll work it out another date. And then we're closing out to the end of our season. And I'm like, okay, got to start shooting the message again. We got to see what else works. And then it's just been back and forth. So it was you I was messaging the whole time.
Yeah. Okay. I do the Cheeseburger's Instagram. I handle the social media.
That's dope. I understand what you're doing because I'm doing all our digital accounts, and he'll send me pictures sometimes. And we're like, oh shit, the last Blockbuster's closing. Better put a song to that and send it, put it up. And I'm like, yeah, okay, got it. I got it. And then I go home and I got to cook the kid dinner. And I'm like, oh shit, it's 10:30. Fuck. All right. Got time to crash.
Yeah. Yep.
What?
I don't know. You're looking at me like...
I ain't dreaming of you. That's what you're thinking.
Thank God.
What are your tour dates you guys got coming up?
We're actually back here again on the 23rd. We're playing with Out of the Ring at
Is that the Punksgiving show?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, I thought it was going to be called Friendsgiving again.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's not at a house this time. It's
going to be a Sky Bar.
Okay,
it's
I didn't get to see that one.
Yeah.
The last 2-3 days, I've just been trying to get all the sound worked out, so I miss a couple posts that you guys put up. But
yeah, we're going to do that on the 23rd, and then we just have like some semi-local dates, you know.
And then you guys are based out of L.A., right?
Yeah.
So you guys do what's that? Oh, I can't think of it. Right there on Hollywood Boulevard or Rodeo Drive or whatever, where they do the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Guitar Center on Sunset.
I think that's the one, yeah. Because the Ramones were there one day, and they got indoctrinated into the Hall of Fame, or Rock and Roll Hall of Fame or some shit. And I was like, okay, well, you guys are out of L.A. I wonder if you guys are out there playing in that area. You guys able to play the rock and roll areas out there?
I think that's like a...
Yeah, I think that's probably above our pay grade.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think so, man. You guys play pretty hard.
It's also not exactly a huge, like, rock scene there. I mean, there's, I guess, a couple places, maybe, like, Lucky Strike or whatever. But more of the clubs, I guess, are over on, like, Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah, that area that, around Hollywood, there's a little more.
I don't get the chance to go down there much, so the area is like new to me still. Every time I go down there, I'm like, oh, I feel like I'm spending a fortune standing here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, did you guys do, I've seen everybody dress up. I don't remember if I saw you and you dress up for Halloween. I seen yours, and I was like, oh, that's living forever on the internet right there.
It sure is.
That is living forever. I mean, what inspired you to do that?
Okay.
Shock factor?
So for the people at home, I was chaperone this Halloween. Chaperone, sorry. But
he put some French on it.
Yes. So I work at a music school, a school of rock. And one of my students, like earlier in the year, had photoshopped my face onto her body. I think the main reason is just because we kind of have the same hair. We both have like long curly hair. But then, yeah, like, you know, Halloween was coming up and one of the other students asked me, hey, what are you going to be? And I was like, I don't know. They go, you should be chaperone, just like that picture we made. And I was like, that is too perfect. Like, I have
to do it now.
In the
editing, I'm probably going to slap that photo up right on the screen as it goes through.
Enjoy.
Right? I'm going to throw it up there and just put you out there.
Angelica, and you were dressed up as Pearl?
Yes.
Right? Now, is it because you like the horror movies? Or what
favorite genre of all time, horror movies.
Yes, I'm a very big horror fan. I really like that whole kind of series of movies.
You could tell when you were singing Final Girls Anonymous.
Yeah. Yes.
And then you get to Leatherface, and I'm like, oh, what's she going to say about Leatherface? And then you just said Leatherface again, and I'm like,
No, it's actually Schmetterface.
Okay, I heard it wrong. Like, what? I even had the headphones on, and I'm like, yeah, okay, just trying to get it right.
Yeah.
I still mess it up.
Who wrote that one?
Me.
Yeah, it was you.
Yeah.
So you have most of the writing credits on most of the songs, or
yes, but you know, like as you know, we were like registered on I think BMI and I just divide.
We go by Van Halen rules.
I know Queen, when they were starting to get towards the end and they were doing their last set of albums, he was like, it's an equal credit for everybody. And I'm like, oh,
that's
okay,
the way Van Halen always was. All four of them got equal credit, even though Michael Anthony did nothing, I think.
Okay, so
Michael Anthony here.
Right?
You're listening.
So, top band of all time.
Oh.
Favorite band of all time. You would never miss them, no matter what it is. I know you saw Ice Nine Kills and all that.
I did technically.
Which goes with the horror theme.
I did technically miss them one time for a drama show, but it's My Chemical Romance. I love My Chemical Romance. And they had like tickets for me to go to a show, and then it was the same day as a drama show, and so I couldn't make it. But yeah, my answer is My Chemical Romance, even though I did have to miss them. Sorry.
If your answer is anything less than Metallica, I'm leaving right now. I'm just kidding.
No. I mean, that's a really, really hard question.
I know, right?
And yeah, my answer would probably change depending on the day, but I'm going to have to go with Trivium.
Ooh.
That's a different one.
That's a heavy answer right there.
Yeah.
I like that. Trivium's got some hard hits, man.
Oh, yeah.
What you got on the table here?
Black Sabbath.
Oh yeah,
my favorite.
That's the one you heard growing up, and you're just like, can't get enough of them.
Yeah,
right?
Unlikely I will ever see them again, but
I love this song when Ozzy did. He broke out on his own, and he did that duet with Lita Ford, "Close My Eyes," and all that. I'm like, fuck, took me away. I'm like, that's dope right there.
Yeah,
and that old man, he is out there rocking. He will not quit. And I'm like, there's no quit in this guy.
Ozzy?
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
he talks like we're talking right now. What did he say? He gets on the microphone and I'm like, I can understand everything. I'm like, how does that work? I don't get it. It makes no sense to me.
We saw Ozfest on New Year's Day going into 2020. And we thought he was going to die on stage in front of us. Right?
I'm a bit jealous because that's legendary people that you'll never get to see again.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was lucky. But also, like, I can't believe he's still kicking like 4 years later.
You should have brought a rubber bat, throw it up there.
You
know the story, right?
Yeah.
Top band of all time.
Rush or Porcupine Tree. It's got to be one of the two.
Yeah, I have to say so. They're pretty good. Yeah, you got them tattooed. Yeah.
They're all my influences on my sleeve.
Nice.
Oh, wow, that's nice. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got a buddy at work that he must work, doesn't matter what it is, every Kiss show, doesn't matter what it is. He's there every single time. And this dude's 60-something. I'm like, how do you do it? He goes, I call in sick the next day. That's it. I'm like, I couldn't do it, man. I don't got the budget for it.
It was my first show, and it was Jesse's second show. Kiss.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know I got my kid into Five Finger Death Punch, and now he's went the complete opposite way. He's into Tyler, the Creator. He's listening to them a lot, and I'm like, yeah, but you remember we saw Five Finger Death Punch and Bad Wolves and Breaking Benjamin, and now you don't want to go see them no more? But it was a hell of a trip, though, his first concert. How long have you thought about, like, producing more music videos, doing, like, a DVD, or get camera guys to do live shows and then produce it onto a DVD or anything like that?
We try to put out music every year, like a recording every year. We don't have that much that we haven't recorded at this point. But we have a few songs, and I'd like to get them done, you know, like this year, I like 2025, because we did put out Cheesy Peasy, it was 2024. And we have like tons of music videos, because our songs are so like concept heavy, you know, like,
yeah.
So I would love to do,
as many as physically possible.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, I mean, the guy we work with, I was telling you, Andrew Soto, he doesn't charge a lot, but it's still, you know,
not it breaks a piggy bank a bit.
Yeah. And then, you know, to get everyone together. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that's also kind of like a once a year thing.
Takes a lot of money to finance two bands.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. We were interviewing Hemlock, and he said to do their whole album cost them, I forgot, what did he say? 10 grand, 20 grand?
Something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, good Lord, that is a lot of money for a CD.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how you guys do that.
Well, we are.
I mean, you get your advantages. I know you get certain advantages. There are perks of the job.
Yeah, yeah, no, I mean, it's more diabology that we kind of put the big budget into.
Yeah. I mean, as a punk band, you know, our recordings, you know, don't need quite as much like polish.
We do that shit with a ghetto blaster in the bathroom.
The Cheesy Peasy, I like mixed myself.
You mixed it.
Yeah.
That's dope.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a lot more DIY there. But yeah, if you're going full, like, you know, like studio, nice equipment, you know, full production and everything.
Yeah.
It can, yeah, definitely get up there.
How do you remember all the different chords, all the different songs for two different bands? That's like some Maynard Keenan type shit right there.
And he has three bands.
Yeah, I know.
It's like when SpongeBob learned fine dining and forgot his name.
He forgot everything but fine dining. Exactly right. Yeah. How do you keep that all locked in there?
I don't know. Honestly, it's like, you know, not to brag or anything, but like, it's kind of easy for me. Like, I don't know.
It just comes natural. Okay.
I've been doing music since I was like 7 or something. So like, guitar is almost just like another language to me at this point.
And you're the only member that's in two different bands. Dirty laundry.
I know. I'm Diabology's like permanent stand-in basis. So
okay, yeah. So both of you are in two different bands. You're not in two different bands.
She's not really.
I'm not really in Diabology. I just want to be.
You just back up for us. Yeah, okay.
I probably played more shows with them as their bassist than any other bassist that they've had in their band.
Yeah, we've had some lineup instability. Yeah. So every time we drop a bassist, she ends up filling in for like a month or two or three.
Then you have to keep those chords and songs in your memory bank as well.
Yeah, but yes. He does have a better memory than I do for that stuff.
I teach music too, so I also have to remember all the songs I'm like teaching the kids.
That keeps you grounded in both sets.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're sitting there writing music. How do you not hear a song on the radio and not accidentally write lyrics into your own music, or, you know, take influence from it without, you know, stealing it?
I have done that.
You've done that on accident? I mean, it's got to happen naturally at some point. And you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I sometimes it works, or sometimes I'm like, oh my God, this sounds just like this. And then I like can't use the song, but it depends on how much it sounds like it.
I don't know. There's been a lot of revelations lately with sampling, and they just turn down the beat or they speed it up, and then they're like, okay, nobody will ever guess it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's like a fine line, you know, between like inspiration and like straight up like copying.
But, yeah.
You know, we kind of, You toe the line. It's kind of just part of being a band. And sometimes we even intentionally, like on our song Frozen Pizza Fridays, there's a bridge where we just straight up...
off the Cure.
Yeah, we play a little bit of Friday I'm in Love with like different lyrics.
Yeah.
But
except for the part where we straight up say it's Friday, I'm in love.
That's kind of the punchline.
Yeah. But, yeah. Totally not recording everywhere right now. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how you guys do it, man. That is amazing stuff. I know you got these songs that have such rhythm to them, and I'm like, I catch myself, I'm like, yeah, as soon as the song comes on, like, I have digitized all the albums, put them on my phone, and I have a Bluetooth speaker around here somewhere I built, and I'll just set it off on the job site, and I'll crank it up, and then a song comes on, I'm like, I know who that is right away. Your voice is very iconic, and I know instantly it's you.
Thank you.
And I look at the song, and I'm like, I bet this is that. Yep, that's exactly what it is. I know which song it is, and then it comes on. So it's like, it's very influential, and I know who you are right away.
Yeah, the cheesy Easy Peasy in my car. It's just a short album. I mean, I only, from my house to my work, it's like 5 minutes. So going to work and on back to work, I listen to the whole CD.
Yeah.
Leave it in there for like a few days, and I'll just like leave it on there, just like, oh. Or I'll just listen to the radio and like, oh, what happened to the CD player? Oh, and then Final Girl Anonymous or something. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the last guy I know that has a CD player in his car still. I don't know anybody else that does.
Oh.
I had to digitize them. I had to order a DVD USB into the computer from Amazon. I had to order it, put it in there. And then I had to digitize your guys' albums just so I could play it on my phone at work.
Yeah.
And he has a CD player in his car. And I'm like, I bought the CDs. And I'm like, yeah, I don't have nothing to fucking listen to them on. How am I going to do this?
I've been there before.
I realized the gap in my technology was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was either put it in the Xbox and take out my video game to play it. And then how am I going to listen to it on the road?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go to like Amazon and order a CD player for the car or something that plugs in. I don't have that. So you guys have everything on Spotify though, huh?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You guys don't have a subscription fee set up so you can get some in revenue on this? Because I know you guys sell CDs at the shows when you guys go do like Friendsgiving and whatever, but I don't know if you guys have fees where you can charge to download the music.
On Bandcamp.
On Bandcamp? Okay, that's the other one that's on Linktree then.
Technically on iTunes too.
Yeah.
I don't have an iPhone, so that's why I bought your albums in person and I digitize them.
Yeah.
Because I don't pay for the Spotify monthly premium. I don't have that kind of money. Our budget's small. Yeah. But I got the album, so I was like... And then he tells me earlier, he goes, hey, there's another album before the one that we bought, and I think there's one after that, right? Or no.
Cheesy Peasy was the
last the newest one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's the one before that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I didn't get a chance to buy those, so we were hoping maybe we could find a way to buy them either digitally, or since he has a CD player, we could find a way to order them from you and order the physical copies.
We can leave you copies of
we'll
the
buy
second
them.
Album.
We'll buy them.
Like if we said, we don't have copies of the first one, but we got the second one with us, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
If it's ones that we don't have, we definitely want to pick one up.
Because
I've listened to every song over and over and over. I need something else. I need more.
And remind us, we'll give you new stickers too. I see our
really
sticker on this laptop right here.
Yeah. Well, we have a brand new beer fridge at home, and we need stickers for that too. Because I got your pin, and then I have I don't have a sticker for the fridge. I think he had one of the few stickers.
Yeah, I got it on his
stickers now too.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, because I remember you told us not to put them outside in the sun because I was going to put them in the beer fridge outside. Yeah, you do have a better memory than I thought. You said you didn't have a good memory. But yeah, I have it stuck on one of my monitors at the house or something, and I need one for the beer fridge because we saw Outpatient X, we got Out of the Ring stickers on there, and we're trying to get stickers from every band. And it was such a nice, pretty fridge when I got it. And I'm like, we're stickering the fuck out of this thing. We're going punk rock on this.
Yeah. Shit, that sticker was probably the first one I actually put on this laptop when you gave it to me.
No kidding.
You know, because I was doing on, you know, I do all the writing and stuff, so I just, you know, have my, know my phone. That's why I'm doing all my research on my phone. And he's like, hey, no, I got this old laptop. Here, why don't you just use it and, you know, it'd be easier. And then I was like, then one of my friends was like, oh, you should start putting stickers and stuff, because he already had the one on the middle. And I was like, oh, yeah. So, you know, I got, you know, Star Wars and the bands that we've seen. So
we turned the hallway into our apartment into like a, it looks like CBGB's in there. Now it's covered in band stickers, like all down the hallway between our rooms.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to get as many stickers as I can on the fridge. I want to see you guys in person on the show once again, but I don't know if I'm going to have the time to get down to L.A.
Oh, with you. Well,
I know you got that one coming up. Yeah. Is that on Friday or Saturday, or
Saturday.
When is it?
It's a Saturday.
It's on a Saturday? Mm-hmm. Fucking perfect. We can make that.
I was going anyways.
We can make that. Well, because Friday nights we do our shows, and then we've had to miss Out of the Ring I don't know how many friggin' times because they're always on Friday nights.
Yeah.
And it's like, Jim won't let me give him any money for stuff, like stickers. I'm like, let me buy some stuff. He starts giving me stuff. I'm like, no, I'm trying to help fund the venture here. You got to let me. So when he goes to a place where they charge cover charge, I'm like, all right, we're going. He has to take the money now. He has no choice.
Yeah.
I'm trying to help fund him. Like, if I get blessed, I'm trying to bless back, but he won't let me do it. So if you guys leave us with albums, let us pay you for them, please.
Okay.
don't be like, we'll leave you with this, we'll leave you with that. Let us buy it. You know what I mean? Like, if somebody's trying to say, hey, I'll give you some money, I ain't going to tell you no.
Yeah.
I'm never going to turn that down.
Yeah.
Wake up, fucker.
I was waiting for you.
You're waiting for me? You're going to be waiting forever. I'm an expensive date.
Well, I've known you for 30 years, so.
Yeah, there ain't too many surprises left. Do you guys have beer koozies?
We do not, no.
No.
We started an online store. We sold one beer koozie to me and a couple of t-shirts and stuff. And then our clothing line went under because nobody was buying nothing. Everything's so expensive. So I don't know if you guys have clothing line on there on that Linktree thing.
I mean, we have shirts.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get a shirt. I'm going to have to buy a shirt and order it because I'm sure you guys don't carry merchandise with you everywhere. You do?
Well, yeah. I mean, we do. Right
do you have fat boy sizes? Because I'm like at least 2X.
We have 2X.
We have up to 2.
We have
2X.
I'm down. I want a shirt and then that other album.
Hey, look at shirts, pins.
See, I didn't get to research all that. I definitely have the pin still. And I have the sticker stuck to something at the house, but I couldn't put it on the outside fridge because you said it would fade in the sun. So I'm like, what am I going to do for a better sticker?
Better, yeah, no, the new ones will stand up to the weather.
I'm buying everything, whatever it takes.
What designs you guys have for your shirts?
It's just the just our logo.
Yeah. Is it the same your mom is rock and roll, where it kind of is?
We don't have
those anymore. I don't know.
We might have like a couple of
them. This is on you guys' website, so might be a little outdated.
Is it drop shipping? Like as soon as somebody orders it, it gets made and then sent out, or do you guys buy everything ahead of time?
Yeah, well, it depends on where you order it from. We have a site, a threadless site that is print on demand.
I don't know what a threadless site is.
Threadless is a website where you can put up your designs and people can order them like on demand. Like,
okay, that's what we did. When we did it, they called it drop shipping and it was like Shopify or something like that. Yeah, so I don't know if that's the same thing.
It's insane. You can get our logo on like shower curtains and throw pillows and
phone cases, duvets.
Duvet.
Crazy shit, yeah.
I need a toaster koozie and shit or something. Yeah.
The shower curtains are the most bad shit things.
Like you turn around, oh, they're looking at me. A cheeseburger's going to eat me, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Horace with his crazy eyes.
So what's your guys' last name? There was only one way to go with it.
Yeah.
Did you guys toss around other names?
Not really.
No? As soon as it clicked?
The kids were young and they thought it was funny and they suggested it and it was...
Every time you meet a band, you're like, how did you do it? How did you come with it? But it seemed natural to go with that.
Did you get teased as a kid or something because of your last name?
I did.
You did?
I still do.
You go with your friends, you go to a burger joint, what are you going to get? A cheeseburger? Yes. How'd you know?
I get called Burger.
Yeah.
Like, it's a joke I can't outrun. Like, don't yeah. think like it was a joke when I was in like sixth grade. The kids would call me like burger, and then it stopped. And then like last year, it came back.
It made a return.
It's back in.
Every time I think I'm free, it comes and gets me.
It's like the mafia. Like, every time I think I'm out, it sucks me back in. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Old Godfather style.
Yeah. So out of you guys' albums that you've done, which one's you guys' favorite that you guys love, like just playing like in its whole entirety or like a couple songs or?
Yeah, I mean, well, like, you know, I think that like the more we record, it's kind of like the better we get, you know, especially considering yeah. that the kids were so young when we started. So that's kind of part of it.
I've almost learned to play now.
I also feel like just in general, like as a band, usually like the newest stuff is like the most fun and most exciting to play.
Yeah.
Plus I did mix that one myself, which is like the first release I fully mixed. So I'm pretty proud of that.
Yeah.
It's kind of a special place in my heart.
I don't know which songs are on which albums.
That's refreshing to hear because usually you always know that. So especially the lead singer doesn't know which song or which albums. You just know which one we're playing next.
Yeah,
there ain't nothing wrong with that.
They hand me the set list and I go, okay.
Yeah, Angelica, you know, this big secret, but she's basically just a figurehead in our band. She seems like, you know, this, you know, the lead singer, and everyone's like,
well, oh. You don't notice it when the video's going or the song's playing. You're just in the moment, yeah. And I'm like, oh shit, this is legit. I get it.
I do very.
Yeah, she's very. Yeah.
Well, don't feel bad at all. There'll be times where we'll be sitting there doing an episode and we'll talk about a song, and he'll be like, yeah, we played that on one of our others. I'm like, which one? He goes, I don't know, but we played it on one of the other episodes. And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I don't remember that.
Yeah,
I don't remember we even covered that song.
I sing and look pretty. Yeah. That I contribute to this band.
I do all the guitars on the recording. So Angelica's the only one who's not technically on every single song. Which
that's
might be
interesting.
Why.
Well, you play them at the live shows, though.
Yeah. Sorry.
You both spoke at the same time and my brain did not comprehend.
I saw the collision happen right there. That was dope.
Yes, I play my guitar live, but I'm not on the recordings.
Because, interesting. I know you get down on those guitar solos. That's my favorite part. It's one of my favorite parts. It's always the guitar solo.
Yeah.
We cover a video in the song, and he's like, okay, let's fade it out. And I'm like, that's a sin. You don't interrupt a guitar solo.
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, we're about to, and then he's like, it's like a 5-minute song. It's only 3 minutes in. And I was like, okay, that's enough. Oh, wait, no guitar solo. We got to listen to the whole song.
Yeah, I'm about to fade it out on the board. And I go like that. And he's like, yeah, I know. You don't interrupt the guitar solo.
So when you write your songs, do you like give yourself a challenge to make it better than like the others? Like you're saying, like, you know, yeah, with every album, you're going to try and get better and better. So do the same thing with the writing of the songs?
I mean, yes, to a certain extent, you know. I mean, you know, you kind of songwriting is so hard because you can't like just force yourself to write a good song, you know? Like sometimes you write a song and you think it's going to be good, but then you're like, oh no, it's not, you know? And you do kind of compare it to your other songs, but I think there's a point where you have to say, okay, it's not getting any better. You know, I mean, there's some songs are better than others, and that's okay because you need filler songs and you need hits. You know,
exactly, filler songs. We do that with our episodes. We're like, okay, well, what are we going to do this week? Oh, I got nothing written. Well, I got no ideas. Well, let's just do what we call a FAFO, a fuck around and find out episode. And we're like, we'll just click whatever comes up next on YouTube and then either talk shit about it or promote it, whether it's good or bad. So inspiration can come out of nowhere. There'll be times where he's at work and he's leaving and he sees one of the patriotic ladies that has a FAFO sweatshirt with guns all over it. And be like, we're doing a FAFO episode today. And I seen that sweatshirt. It's a sign we're supposed to do a random ass, you know, music video episode. So inspiration can come out of nowhere. So I'm sure you're sitting at home one time and the mailman shows up and he drops a package or something. And you're like, drop package song or something. You know, it could be anything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But have you ever thought of doing like a part two to like, you know, Final Girls Anonymous or whatever? Like Scream has part one, part two, part three, part four.
Mm-hmm.
You could do, you know, Final Girls Anonymous, but you cover more of the killers in other genres or whatever.
Yeah, like, just like Ice Nine Kills, how they did.
Yeah, because all his albums tie together.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Didn't
it, actually, it becomes a scary movie where we're not even sticking to the horror genre. We're just parodying everything.
You could have another one called the Murder Burger album or something or something. You know, it could be cool like that.
Halloween special.
Exactly. Maybe, something like that. Have you guys ever thought about doing like a spin-off to your own albums or like a part two continuation?
The Silver Spatula.
I wouldn't be objected to it, but It never occurred to me.
She's written like 10 songs about when me being a hypochondriac, so
yeah,
that
true.
Counts as sequels, you know.
Could be.
There are some themes we've definitely like revisited.
I mean, there's recurring
themes. But
yeah, there's so many levels to play on the burger idea, just like the spatula idea with SpongeBob, you know. You can totally spin that off into something else.
Right.
Have the cheeseburger face over SpongeBob and do some horror movie type thing. That'd be dope. I would definitely buy the shit out of that.
Because Ice Nine Kills has the silver scream, so the silver spatula.
Exactly.
I amuse myself if no one else.
But that's how, if you're not your best audience, then who's going to be?
Exactly.
See? I see you, boo-boo. I see you. That works, man. You guys definitely have a lot of inspiration going on and definitely more albums to come, right? You're not quitting anytime soon?
No?
Okay, cool. Because I know you got two different bands going. If one takes off, then you're like, hey, man, I can't contribute no more or whatever. And then scheduling gets tough. So if you guys keep going with it, I definitely want to keep buying albums and stuff like that.
We're going to start adopting Russian babies or something.
You got to get the... Yeah.
If Jesse ever moves out of the house, I'll say. But
so what's the future of Cheeseburgans? You guys have
this is it.
No, you guys have you guys have more tour dates. You guys have more ideas for albums. You guys got your clothing line. I mean, what else could there be?
Yeah, I mean, you know,
just more.
It's a family band. You know, I mean, we're kind of like, you know, after being like in a band myself for like so many years, I'm kind of like just having fun with it. You know, I mean, if anything happens with it, it's great, but you know, we're kind of just happy to do what we do, and you know, like I said, we hope to put, you know, at least a few songs out in 2025. We do have a few more shows through the end of the year, and then I mean, we don't have anything booked for 2025, but I'm sure we will, you know. I mean,
do you guys take seasonal breaks where you're like, hey, we're just gonna enjoy vacation, or just hammering away no matter what?
I mean, well, not unless we have to, like, I mean, obviously Jesse goes on some road trips where you know, we can't book anything, you know, we'll go on vacation like once a year or whatever.
Yeah. Plus, like, late December, early January usually kind of is a break period in like the music industry anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Usually not a lot of shows around like the holiday.
What was it like before you guys jumped into starting a family and a family band? Were you guys in other bands before?
Yeah, I was. I was in a band with my sister for years. We started in New York City called Sisters Grimm. And I know that's been a lot of...
like a play on Brothers Grimm?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I think there was another band after us. But we were the original. And we did a lot of good things because it was like the 90s. It was a little like the music market wasn't as competitive. And then especially for women, you know, like... And I think this is still the case, but I think people like are... You know, like if a woman artist, the people kind of give them extra attention or whatever, you know, like.
I could see that. I mean, there's been historical like Pat Benatar, things like, you know, people like that in the history, and they've had to work like triple hard just to get, they have to have the talent, they have to have the musical scores, they have to have the writing credits, they have to be able to get noticed. And if they don't, then they're like, oh, wow, you know, you have to work twice as hard sometimes.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, there is that, but I think also on the other flip side of it is that people are like, you know, like I remember there were a lot of like, you know, girl night shows and stuff, you know, so there was like a demand for it too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, true.
Like it, I guess I hate to say it, but it, like, that it's kind of a gimmick or whatever, you know?
Just, no, I mean, there's nothing you can't say. I mean, if it is, it is what it is.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, I think people viewed that, and I mean, you know, you could take that like as a, you know, as an advantage, you know.
So, you know what? You got to take every advantage you got.
Exactly.
If you don't, it's a waste. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Yeah.
So you might as well shoot for it.
Exactly.
If it gets you in the door, it gets you in the door. And now you guys are here, so.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah. I mean, we did some exciting things with Sisters Grimm. I mean, obviously, you know, we're not not a household name, but you know, we did some touring and we put some records out on some like indie record labels and stuff. So that was fun.
Do you guys get recognized when you're out in public?
As Sisters Grimm or as Cheeseburgians?
Either one.
I mean both, yeah.
You guys get, you know, I'm just trying to buy a gallon of milk. Hey, it's you. The fuck, I just wanted milk. And then you gotta stop and you gotta tell the story and you know, converse and be like,
I mean, occasionally, you know, more often if we're like at clubs.
Garcias.
Yeah.
It's funny because in New York, like we used to get that all the time because New York's much smaller. And if you went out, you would see like
New York's smaller.
Well, Manhattan.
Oh, okay.
Manhattan. Yeah.
I was like, New York's pretty big.
Yeah. Well,
they kind of dwarf us out here.
Yeah. When I lived in Manhattan, it was like, you know, you would go outside and you'd see like, you know, the local, you know. You know, we called them soup kitchen celebrities, you know.
So okay, I get it.
Yeah, so you'd always see, like, you know.
Because you have your own network of, you know.
Exactly. Like, so you'd see them at the grocery store, and you'd see them at you know, walking down the street or whatever. But California's more spread out. So, like, if you go to Ralph's, you're not going to see, like, your.
It's funny how that works, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have only been recognized a couple times, and it's really weird because it doesn't feel real. So I don't know how, if it's surreal for you and you're like, yeah, actually, holy shit, we're recognized, we're in a band. Like, the first time it happened, I'm sure it, like, kind of threw you for a loop.
I don't know. Like, me and my sister are twins, so we always kind of got this weird recognition. And so it was, like, kind of natural that once we became, like, a band, that it was just, like, kind of substituting the twins for Sisters Grimm, you know.
It kind of naturally developed,
like,
that way.
Yeah.
But it didn't like kind of say, like, you didn't walk away like, that just happened. We just got recognized. It didn't hit you weird?
Yeah, I mean, I guess in certain circumstances, it depends. Like if we were just like walking down the street in New York, not so much, but yeah, if it happened like in a place where you don't expect it to happen, then yeah.
We did an event down in LA, and we were there in our Ready Player U t-shirts and all that stuff, and one of the international producers he's moving over here from England, and he goes, hey, I know you guys, I follow you on Instagram. I'm like, fuck out of here. I hit him so hard he fell back. I'm like, you believe this shit? That really happened.
That's awesome.
It's the weirdest fucking thing ever. And I'm like, no, nobody knows who we are. We're doing this for fun. We're doing this because we enjoy doing it. And then somebody has seen our videos or heard us online. And I'm like, there's no fucking way that happened right there. You're lying to me. And he opens up his Instagram. He goes, no, look. Yeah. And I'm like, all right, then I guess I'll just have to deal with that mentally later. Cause I didn't believe that happened. So I'm trying to put myself in your shoes. Like when you guys get recognized or somebody shows up to the show and they're like, oh, they know all the lyrics. The energy's got to be different.
Yeah, that
it just keeps you pumped up.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
and
yeah.
You know, your buddy, he had recognized me at that party night, Lulu.
Oh, Lulu.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, I'm also a secretary for a car club, and he's our camera guy. And he showed up at an event, and he goes, "Hey, I know you from somewhere."
Yeah.
And he goes, "Well," he goes, "Are you in a podcast?" And he goes, "Yeah, the Ready Player." And he goes, "Oh yeah, I listen to you guys." And it,
yeah, sure. I kind of find out that he knows him. It was a birthday party for a mutual friend.
Uh huh.
And so I was like, oh, yeah, hey, no, nice to meet you. And he was like, wait, are you part of the Ready Play You podcast? I'm like, yeah. He's like, oh, I listen to you guys. I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah, like, all right, no, hey, thanks. And then later on, I was like, hey, how do you know Mike? And he's like, oh, no, I do photography for the car club. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I text him and I was like, hey, I just met one of your buddies.
Cool. Yeah, I'm like, who the fuck do you know that I know? But yeah, it's a trip though. So right now we're gonna, when I digitize all this and edit it, when I produce it for the audio side of our podcast without the video, over 36 countries around the world are gonna hear your voices and hear about your band. So where can they find out about you? All your link trees, all your Instagrams, shout it out, your second band where that you're in, shout it out, send me the links. I'll put everything in the video. And then that way they can find you online and we can try and promote you even more. But half the world is going to hear your voices and your band and the name and all that stuff. So promote it. We're going to put you out there.
Okay, yeah. Awesome. Well, yes, we're the Cheeseburgans. There's really not another Cheeseburgans.
Well, I think the most spelling. Important thing, is the spelling, because it's
cheese. The Cheeseburgans, because I put in Cheeseburgans before and nothing popped up.
If you spell it wrong, then it's gonna like come up with cheeseburgers.
It's the cheese and then BERGEN.
S.
Don't forget the S.
Yes.
There might be a plagiarizing band out there trying to copyright you.
Well, if you look us up,
the Cheeseburgan.
Yes. Okay. If you look us up, we're on Spotify, YouTube, Apple Music. We're on all the streaming. We're on all the social media. You know, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, yada yada.
All the socials.
As long as you spell it right, you'll find us there.
We're out there.
That's the same thing we say when we're trying to close out an episode. We're like, okay, we're on this, and shoot us an email at this. Do you guys have an email or something, or you guys just go through the DMs on your Instagram for...
No, we do have an email. I mean, most people reach out through social media, but...
Exactly. That's what we've... Our email got a few hits for a while, and then everybody starts shooting DMs on Instagram.
It's the Cheeseburgans at Gmail.
Okay, cool.
So when you guys are on the road, what do you guys do with that free time? I mean, are you still writing while you're on the road? I mean, what do you guys, are you reading? Are you guys reading, watching different movies? Like, what do you...
Now, we're mostly arguing about what fast food we're
What 99-cent heart attack you're going to buy next,
A lot of bickering and playlisting. DJing. Controlling the car radio.
I'm usually the one on my phone watching something or reading something. I'm in my own world.
A lot of Netflix whatever.
Yeah.
Hulu. I've watched enough 911 on Fox to be upsetting.
Yeah.
Hulu needs to check in on me.
So that's your top thing to do to unwind and get away from the show. I mean, do you guys listen to punk rock all the time, or do you listen to other types of music on your off time?
It's mostly metal.
Yeah.
Mostly metal?
Yeah, I mean, like, I actually grew up... Everything. Yeah, I grew up on metal. Like, my bands that I liked were Judas Priest, Iron Maiden, and, like, all the classic metal.
Yes.
They like very extreme metal, which I do like some of those bands, but...
I listen to a lot of stuff, though. I also put on a lot of more, like, modern, like, alt rock and hard rock.
Yeah,
we have the most stuff like that. Taste here.
Yeah, like probably.
I'm the same way. I'll listen to everything from reggaeton to symphony to thrash metal to screamo to rap, R&B, country, punk rock. I'll listen to everything. If it's got a good vibe, a good flow, and a good solo, I'm definitely hooked, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I listen to everything.
So since, you know, I like... You know, everyone kind of likes metal. That is what we mostly listen to. But I mean, we do listen to punk, like alt, and then she likes, I mean, I guess like punk emo type stuff. I mean, and all of that is cool.
Well, My Chemical Romance.
Yeah. We like them. We all like
Black Veil Bride, or I'm saying it wrong.
Black Veil Bride?
Did I say it right?
Yeah. Yeah,
I thought I said it wrong.
A 2000s. Pop punk emo playlist. Hate to see me coming. I'll listen to it.
You're definitely gonna get it. You got her giggling over here. Don't be shy. Let it out. I don't know if the microphones will pick it up, but let it out.
And she's actually the one that introduced me to Ice Nine Kills. And not too long ago,
she's off the charts over there. We gotta mic her up next time.
Yeah. So we ended up doing.
Don't worry.
We gotta get a camera shot of that. She's like, no, she's gonna run away if we do that.
Don't worry. I live in LA. I'll find a stand up comedy.
There you go. Hit the rim shot. Thank you. I'll be here all week. Don't forget to tip your waitress.
Yes.
I do have a question. What did happen to Ron?
Oh my God. I was waiting for that. I didn't know if you were going to do it. Okay, so was that really about the neighbor? Did he die? What happened?
No,
our buddy Ron was just being Ron.
He showed up to one of our shows and
I thought he said he was fine, but then we like never really saw him.
No, he showed up to one of the shows and he just like disappeared after the third song.
Like, what happened to Ron?
Yeah.
Congo.
Oh my God.
So And then like he wasn't on the socials. Like we were like,
yeah, he's a frequent poster, and he just like wasn't answering any messages.
He just ghosted posting. Himself.
Yeah. We really thought Roman wow. was dead. We thought he just like got abducted by aliens.
Talk about inspiration like, for a song right
yeah,
there.
And then we just started like coming up with all these funny
what
theories.
What could have happened to Ron?
You know, like and then he popped up, and it turned out that he was just like drunk, and we're pretty sure like he threw up behind the jukebox.
Was he also the one that was having a fight? And the neighbors having a fight?
No,
that wasn't it.
That's the neighbors fighting with each other.
It's still the same neighbors?
No.
Because you could totally hook up a microphone Ron's to the window and be like, okay, songs are coming.
Yeah, Ron is not our neighbor. Ron's just a friend. Okay. My dad's. Yeah. But
we do take a lot of inspiration from our neighbors.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go. See, but as long as they don't know it, they keep giving you new material, right?
Our neighbors on one side fight with each other all night, and the neighbors downstairs are the hipsters downstairs.
If you guys moved and traded them spaces, they could knock a hole in the wall and have a whole new battle. Yeah. You could have a whole new arena there. New content coming out next week, guys. Make sure to like and subscribe. And then you just click, what? They stop fighting.
The hipsters versus the neighbors.
But no, that's awesome.
That would be interesting.
That's basically what the song is about. How that's our entertainment, you know? We're just sitting around listening to them.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. The inspiration is coming from everything around you. Like some of the best comics, they talk about their lives because, you know, that's where their inspiration comes from.
That song was very much born of the pandemic, of everybody being, you know, lumped in at home for months on and listening to the neighbors go crazy through the
walls. Well, being out in LA, they were really hardcore about that. Down here, like I almost lost my job because I wouldn't wear one of the masks. I wouldn't do all that stuff. I'm like, no, I'd rather die. I didn't care. I was just like, yeah, just bring it. If I die, I die. You know, like Rocky, if he dies, he dies. I was like, I don't care. Just bring it. So about now in LA, it's hectic. Yeah, they get really crazy about that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, depending.
We dealt with it by doing a live webcast every Friday night during the pandemic, so, like, through the whole thing, Friday night.
We couldn't really play. You know, I mean, they're
Have you guys thought about doing that more and more to, like, if you can't be on the road, sit down and do like Q&A sessions and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of felt like it ran its course after a while. Like,
okay.
Yeah,
because it did get really popular at one point, but then it was like kind of like
have
died off.
We songs to play them every week.
But really popular, we're talking like 20, 30 people.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
hey, that's pretty decent right there, especially on a Friday night when anybody could be doing anything. They stayed around and tuned in.
We're very grateful for those people. I'm just saying. It wasn't viral.
We'd also always do like a skit. Like it was like you'd all dress up and be themed.
We'd have themes every week. So we'd dress up for the themes and do a few skits. And eventually we kind of just like ran out of themes.
Yeah, we were just we just got burned out on it. And then also like the audience was kind of like, and then the pandemic ends, so...
Yeah.
We were like, what? There's an outside now?
Yeah, exactly. People started tuning in less because they would actually be going out on Friday nights. So.
It was funny how fast people forgot what the outside world was like, and then as soon as they go outside, they're like, oh, yeah, I remember what it's like for the sun to rise and all that stuff, you know?
Pretty different life. I had to go outside because I worked retail, so of course I had to go and wear the mask and all that shit.
Oh,
and,
yeah, that's...
You know, and this... Okay, people still need to eat, and I can't just stay home. I caught COVID like twice. So, I mean, even after a week, I'm like, okay, I'm ready to get back to work.
Yeah, because
they can only watch so much. I watched nothing but YouTube. And I was like, okay, I've seen that. Okay, next day. Okay, well, they got a new video. Okay, then what the hell am I going to watch? Yeah. You only do so much and read and
everybody
shit like
around
that.
Me was catching it, and I'm like, well, let me have one of your water bottles. Let me know. I'll drink it. I'm trying to catch it. I couldn't catch it. I wanted to be at home for 2 weeks. Oh, I wanted a break. I wanted a vacation. Okay. I couldn't catch anything. I tried. It just didn't work.
Yeah, I think some people just have like a immune system that don't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like some people seem to just not get it.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. Maybe it's because I played in the gutter too much as a kid and drank from the hose all the time. And I did all the cool kid shit that nobody does anymore, but it is what it is.
What was behind Mommy and Daddy Worship Satan?
That's kind of like...
I wasn't going to ask that one, but if I could go for it.
It's kind of like the idea, you know, I mean, is that like, you know, like the after, I guess... Like you're so, like by now, like we have done so much, like, what are our kids going to do that's worse? You know what I mean? Like, like the whole idea of the generation gap and being like, oh, you don't want your mom to see that you, you know, smoke pot or drink or whatever.
And yeah.
Your mom smoked pot and drank.
So how can you say something against it?
Exactly. Yeah. So that's really what that song's about. I mean, you know, on the like, you know, level, you know, like when you hear it, it seems like, yeah, oh, mommy and daddy are worshiping Satan. But that's kind of what it's supposed to be. It's like, what are you going to do that's worse than your parents did?
Yeah. You know? It's funny how a new generation always seems to find a way to make it, take it to another level. And you're like, that's fucking possible.
Yeah.
And they do it.
Yeah. No, well, if you remember, like that, you probably don't because
I'm 42.
Yeah,
so
we're in our 40s.
We're older. But yeah. There's that show Family Ties.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah,
okay.
Michael J. Fox.
Remember
then,
it.
And the parents were all liberal. And then you know, Michael J. Fox was the Republican. So that was like the shocker. It's like, what's the worst thing? Oh, your kid's going to be, you know, I mean.
Become a lawyer.
No, I don't care.
But yeah, like your kid's going to be like, that your kid's going to be conservative. Is that that's going to be the worst thing or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So that's. You know, that was kind of the idea there was really that. It's
funny how that the little things turn into big things over situations like that. And they make a whole TV show around it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that shit. Mama's Family Ties. I sat around and watched MASH, Matlock, all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I had no childhood. Well, I had a childhood, but I had a lot of summer vacations where I'm like eating pizza, microwave pizza, and watching, you know, Matlock solve crimes and Murder, She Wrote and shit like that. I sat around and watched all of that. So,
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
I definitely watched it. Well, I guess it was reruns when I was six.
Yeah.
But it was so close to the end of that show, they were still kind of newish. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Family Ties was, I think, late 80s.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I do remember watching it when I was younger.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I do remember watching it and thinking Michael J. Fox, and then Back to the Future comes out, and I'm like, holy shit, that's the dude from that. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, he was pretty big, pretty famous, like, kid actor or young adult or whatever.
See, he started it.
Oh. Yeah.
I've been fighting when you did it. I fought it, and then you get it, and I got to get the second round.
I know Jesse is yawned a little bit ago, and I had to cover
it. I didn't catch that one. We got to get you guys out of here and on the road. You guys have a long trip, so we appreciate you coming down and doing all this. Thank you for having us. Thank you for coming. You shot all the way down after being out in Exeter to come back for us, so we appreciate that. We're going to do an absolute 100%, 100%, 200% job trying to edit and produce this and make it as best we can.
I'm
probably going to go back and listen to this recording until it runs out of tape, and then, so to speak, and then to make sure I'm going to do quality check, and I'm very obsessive about making it as good as I can. So cool. I'm going to get all the angles and stuff from him. So we appreciate you coming through and doing all this. We're going to head outside and get some merch from you and hopefully a few photos before you guys hit the road.
Cool, yeah.
We ask a lot of you, I know, I'm sorry. But we appreciate it. We'll use some of them photos for the cover of the, when I put it out there on YouTube and our Rumble account and all that. So we appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, we're fans. I mean, we've done the homework.
We know.
Yeah, we enjoy, you know, you guys' music and, you know, the Cheesy Peasy, that's probably one of my favorites. It's just everything on that album is just, you know.
Awesome.
Thank you.
I definitely put some of them on repeat, so appreciate you guys making the music because it had an effect on us, that's for sure.
Cool.
So thank you guys, man. Yep. We'll hit the end recording on there so we can cut it down. Get you guys on the road.
When I was young, I never thought I'd give up my commitment fears, or if there was someone I could stay with for years. Marriage seems so far away, but look at you and me today. 'Cause I tolerate you, even with that little sniffy thing you do. Even though sometimes I can't stand the way you chew, I tolerate you.